Paul's journey on the road with Jesus. And I kind of use that as a metaphor because all our lives are a journey, as I mentioned just now. Many of us have taken journeys even in the last few weeks. And that sense of walking and participating and living my life in the conscious awareness of God's presence is a gift that God gives us through faith. And when we read passages like the one that we've just read, they give to us information. They tell us about the Apostle Paul and what he was about. And that information is useful to us. It's kind of, it's both history and it's also useful knowledge. But of course, it also has to convert into something that I can understand and apply myself. And hopefully this morning we'll be able to pick out a few things from that last section of Romans chapter 15. And as you read Paul's journey, and indeed anything in Scripture that you reflect on, we're thinking, well, this is what someone else has said, this is what someone is teaching, but how, again, does it affect me? How does it affect the way I see the world, how I treat others? And again, the Scripture is living and it's active, and we can interact with this. It's not just Paul's journey you're reading about, you're reflecting about your own journeys too. So, things that I picked out in a sense as a summary from the passage that we just read. First of all, Paul's life journey is focused on the mission to make the gospel known to all nations. That essentially was what God had called him to. And it says quite early on in the reading. By the grace God gave me, I was called to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God, so that the Gentiles, as people of all the non-Jewish nations, if you like, may become an offering acceptable to God, sanctified by the Spirit. So a simple factoid about Paul is we know that he was the spearhead of God's mission to reach the nations beyond Israel. So it was a really important task that God had handed to Paul. And again, you know, Stella made this reflection about the way the Lord invites all to his table. What do we know about the Apostle Paul? Well, he was originally called Saul. And as a Jew, he was violently persecuting Christians and was responsible for the imprisonment of death of many Christians. But he met with the risen Jesus on the road to Damascus, had a complete reversal in his life, a change about, and he became a follower of Jesus. And then God sent him to the Gentile nations to tell them about Jesus. I mean, what an amazing turnaround. So we know that Paul had quite a radical change in his life, and his calling, his mission, was to tell the nations about Jesus. What other general things did we learn? He sees the fruit of his work, making new Christians, as an offering to God. And we see that again from the verse that I just quoted, really. So in his preaching and his setting up of churches, people come to faith in Christ. They get added to the church. And he actually sees that fruit as an offering that he can give. And I'll come on to that later because there's a way in which we can interact with this too. But to Paul, his work was central. The calling that God had given him was all. So he sees the fruit of his work, new Christians, as an offering to God. Then serving God lifts Paul up in spiritual terms. I glory in Christ. This tells us that the Apostle Paul, he had an outward focus, he had the mission, the work, but this gave him an inner focus, a connection. And this idea of glory, it's kind of an elevating word, isn't it, really? Glory we think of as a positive thing, we think of it as victory, we think of it in terms that I suppose are aspirational, amazing, glory. Perhaps to do with light, to do with majesty, to do with things that are just, you know, So I've got the picture of the guy on the mountain there. In another book, Jesus, he refers to Christians as being seated with Christ in heavenly places. So, you know, his feet were on the earth, but his heart and his mind, man, he was knew he was connected to Christ in heaven. And we get a bit of a glimpse of that as in living, he is able to glory in Christ. And again, we'll come back to that and reflect on that a little bit more. So again, just in summary, Paul explains what he's about. The importance to the church of mission is evident. And again, I want you to be encouraged this morning. When you think about the things that we do in church, and they're represented in this passage of scripture today, the giving and supporting of mission, the giving and supporting of people in need, the importance of reaching out and telling people the good news about Jesus, they're all things that we're trying to do and are actually active in at this time. So, you know, be encouraged. The work of the local church connects with the very things that we've read this morning, and we should be encouraged to pursue them. Mission is evident. It's a fulfillment of the Great Commission given by Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Paul also reveals the wisdom and pragmatism required to physically get a job done. So in that regard, there's a few things that I could pick out. He talks, for example, about not wanting to build on other people's foundation. It's a kind of a more roundabout way of saying he didn't want to tread on other people's toes and he didn't want to go sowing in places where people had already been working. What was on his heart was to find new areas, new people to share with, people who hadn't yet heard the good news about Jesus. And just taking that point about not wanting to, you know, kind of tread on other people's toes or sow in on where other people have already been working, there's some just practical wisdom with that, because it's quite divisive, isn't it? If you've got someone who's already active and doing something and then someone else comes in and, you know, comes in with all the ideas and pays no regard for what other people are already doing, it's divisive, isn't it? It's a lesson for the church, and perhaps it's a lesson for us too. But also, you know, Paul was a visionary, and he was looking for new places in which to share the ministry about Jesus, for getting the job done. So lots of positive things for us to reflect on as we look at this passage. The work that he does, he sees it as fruitful. He sees it as a way of making an offering to God. Therefore, I glory in Christ Jesus in my service. Paul also observes the presence of the Holy Spirit. Did you notice how he mentions that during the course of his work, the Holy Spirit was with him, that there were signs, that there were wonders as he was involved in the mission? And again, this idea of participation, of the support, not just of fellow believers, but most importantly of God, the Holy Spirit. And again, a lesson to us. What is it that we're engaged in? There are some here who are going to be doing stuff in the church this week, perhaps the fold on Monday night, perhaps toddlers, perhaps involvement in musical and other things within the church. We must not just slip into doing things out of our own skill and enthusiasm. We have the opportunity to do what we do, whatever walk of life, whether it's serving in the church or in our wider lives, we have the opportunity to do it all in partnership with the Holy Spirit. Now, you may say, well, yes, we know that, Tim. But it's worth reminding yourself, you know, just from time to time, because the Apostle Paul references it all through his letter and his works. It always keeps the Holy Spirit and Jesus central. And we should do the same. Take a leaf out of Paul's book and try and consciously orient our week, our efforts, the things that we do in the church with Christ at the centre and with God the Holy Spirit inspiring us and helping us along the way. Paul also talks in verses 23 to 32 about plans. And he had plans. He was planning to go to Jerusalem. He had a gift to take. So the believers in Macedonia had given him a bunch of money specifically to give to the poor believers in Jerusalem. Now, you know, we're not talking about an age of mobile phones, high-speed trains, or aeroplanes. You had to physically walk, ride, or sail wherever you were going. And Paul has to plan a journey to take the gift to Jerusalem. When in Jerusalem, he'll be in amongst a hostile crowd because Paul's reputation amongst the Jews in Jerusalem was about as low as you could get. He was a turncoat, he was a traitor, and they were on the lookout for him. So he was concerned that he would be safe while he was in Jerusalem and that the gift would be received well and would be used. And then he had further plans. He was planning to go to Spain, so back off in a westerly direction, and he wanted to drop by Rome and visit the people to whom he's written this letter to the Romans. So Paul's got plans. He's got a schedule. He's got plans on his mind, same as we all do. We've all got plans. We've all got, you know, people to visit, holidays, work, leisure things, events, stuff that is planned. And, you know, God's not caught by surprise by any of the things that we plan or the things that happen along the way. But I should mention that of the things that Paul asks people to pray for in this letter, all those things are specifically answered. But the journey of how he got to them, it doesn't work out exactly how perhaps he would have wanted. Don't have time to unpack the whole thing, but Paul gets to Jerusalem. The gift is received. He's not hindered or hassled. He's able to get out of Jerusalem safely. But he does, of course, end up in house arrest. He doesn't get to Rome by the means that he anticipated. He spends 2 years in house arrest. Well, that's going to scupper your schedule somewhat, isn't it? But we know that he doesn't lose hope and that he doesn't lose the opportunity to share the gospel wherever he is. And this also has implications for the way we plan and the way we view how we react when our plans go bottoms up. Come back to that in a moment. But we know for Paul that plans not working out quite as he anticipated, it was not going to be the end of his faith. It wasn't going to, you know, derail him completely. Some people say, well, you know, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. And I think it's right that we make plans. It's a wise thing to do. But the Apostle Paul had a means of coping, and it was his faith in Christ that helped him to cope. What else can we say about this journey? Just Paul was a follower of what Christians called the Way. Christians were known as people who followed the Way. And again, it's a lovely description of journey, isn't it? And it made me think, well, what's my way? What's our way? What's our way of life? How do we connect with God? We connect with him through the things that we do. We connect through prayer. And when we read these kinds of stories, we need to take every opportunity we can to apply what we're reading to what's happening in our own lives. Because the Christian faith is a way of living. It's alive. It's not a dusty old book. One of the things that he brings in the gospel of Christ to the Gentile nations is that the ability to know and follow God has been brought by the Spirit to every human heart. It doesn't depend on, it's not a set of moral rules anymore. It's not following the Jewish law. He's opened up what God has given through the Spirit, and it's there for everyone. It's that connectivity. You know, there's a good metaphor with the World Wide Web and being able to connect wherever you are in the world. It's a bit like that with the Spirit and with us. We connect with God wherever we are if our hearts are open and our faith is real. So, just to summarise a few more of these points. can I make what I do an offering to God? How would I do that? So there's a question for the coming week. How would I make it an offering to God? So if I were to, say, pick on Mark and Helen, they're going to be down the church on Monday night leading the youth group called The Fold and the other helpers here. So, that work, can it be made an offering to God? Paul saw his work as something he could give back. And if there was fruit from that work, the gaining of knowledge, coming to faith, bringing people from hunger into being fed, whatever it happens to be, there's a way in which we can connect with God, make it our offering. You know, are you musical? Are you good with your hands? All these kinds of things. The Apostle Paul connected with God. He gloried in Christ. And whatever our job is, you know, teaching, painting, whatever we do, we can make it an offering if it is in our hearts to give. What is a sacrifice? What is an offering? It's giving something, isn't it? And for Christians, do we not want to give to God who has given his son to us? You may find yourself in retirement. Well, you can still give your retirement time. You can give your prayers. You can give your generosity, your hospitality. You can give the best of your character. And you can make it an offering. And in that way, you will find yourself, like the Apostle Paul, not just ministering, but glorying in Christ. Next one, can I back up my thoughts and words with something practical? And again, you know, we see the evidence here with the Apostle Paul in the giving of the gift to the poor believers in Jerusalem. Into just planning journeys, you know, he had a schedule, he had to get the job done. He had to build relationships, make connections. You know, he didn't get money from people in Macedonia by being contentious, argumentative, and an unpleasant person to meet, did he? He must have gone into those places and made an impression. How do you make an impression? Well, you connect, you know, in a human way. So what do we do? Can I back up my thoughts and words that I get from church into something practical this week? Well, thank you, church. Well, I've already touched on the point that we support missions. So we do something that, again, connects with what we've heard this morning. We can all support the mission work of the church in prayer. So will you remember to, for example, pray for Stephen Abbotts this week? That would be something to do. Could you come down on Wednesday night and both listen to David and Wilma Little, but also encourage them by being present to thank them for coming and to listen to hang on their words, because they are, in a sense, the modern day missioners, the modern day Pauls, you know. Next, make plans, but don't hold too tightly to them. That phrase, I love it when a plan comes together, but they don't always come together, do they? That's the point, you know, life happens. And as we've observed about the Apostle Paul, shipwrecked, imprisoned, whipped, you know, lowered, having to escape for his life, lowered in a basket from a rampart, you know, the stuff of movies and stories. Plans don't always come to fruition. But Paul had something in his life that helped him to roll with the times when things went haywire. What was it that gave him that orientation, that repose? He refers to it at the end and in the last verse I mentioned from James's week a few weeks ago. Peace. Peace. He makes his journey with the peace of God. And his peace comes from having a very strong sense of identity. He knows that he is loved. He knows that he is loved by Christ. And so if his plans go awry, someone's trying to kill him or derail him, or the weather turns, you know, the ship upside down, you cope with that in the moment. But it doesn't change his mission, and it doesn't change his heart. You know, we've wrestled with some sad times during COVID, and we had a terrible year last year with griefs in the church. And, you know, have we not been seeing in, you know, Angelo and Andrea, for example, those who have endured the worst of human storms? And yet, what do we see? We see faith. We see, you know, trying to make their way along. We see people within the fellowship connecting and supporting. She will get to her Spain or her Rome, but it wasn't by the route that she planned. That's the way it is, and we see it in the life of the saints described in the scriptures. But the most precious thing is that in Christ we will reach the destination that he intended for us. Just quickly mention those things that the importance of prayer, if you want to again think of the practical things. In verse 31, pray that I may be kept safe from the unbelievers in Judea. Check. He was kept safe and he was able to continue his journey. Pray that the contribution I take to Jerusalem may be faithfully received by the Lord's people. Check. It was. So that I may come to you with joy by God's will in your and in your company be refreshed. Well, he did, but it was years later than he actually anticipated it would happen. Sometimes we have to be patient. But he had this internal mechanism for rolling with the waves, and it was his faith which anchored him always to that which is good. Therefore, I glory in Christ in my service to God. So, brothers and sisters, let's hit the road. I was in the Lake District last week, and just the sense of journey, sometimes walking along, I was reminded of the talks that we've had on the Lord's My Shepherd recently. Sheep and lambs all over the place. You know, to a penny up there in the Lake District. And there's a picture there which I took, and you're thinking, well, that's really interesting, a bit of fern. But I took it because it was growing out of a wall, and it reminded me of this issue of circumstances. And sometimes, you know, life isn't green and lustrous. Sometimes life gives you the hard knocks, but life finds a way. Unfortunately, I didn't get the picture up onto this one, but on one of the paths I was walking along, in the middle of the gravel, there was a flower. And I passed by the net, and it was all kind of closed up because it was a bit of a miserable day. And I went back the next day, and it had opened up. It's just a flower in the middle of a gravel path. And for me, it was just such a graphic picture that even when the world is closed in, life happens when we're connected to the one who spoke the word and brought life into being, our Father God. So hit the road. By God's will, I may come to you, said the Apostle Paul, with joy, and together with you be refreshed. The God of peace be with you all. And that is the blessing that I'll leave you with as a congregation this morning. The God of peace be with you in your journeys. Be prayerful. Believe that what you do can be made an offering. Whatever it is, if it's from your heart, then it would be good to do that. Remember that the Apostle Paul was all about mission, and as a church, we must continue to support the mission because there are still many who have not yet heard the good news about Jesus. Let's participate in these things together, and let us know the peace of Christ in our hearts, because you're loved, you're secure, your place is in heaven if you've confessed your faith in him. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your word to us this morning. I thank you for all that the Apostle Paul did. I thank you, Lord, for his struggles. I thank you, Lord, for his strong testimony that he could glory in Christ in the business of just doing his life. For him, he had a specific calling. And I pray, Lord God, that you'd help us to know that we are called where we are. If we need a change of calling, a change of scene, Lord, I pray that you would make that clear to us. If we are called where we are, then may we dedicate this day, who we are and what we're doing, to your service as an offering to you because of your great love for us. Amen.